Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing as soothing as a screaming goat. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I'm accompanied by
Dave Binkley from We're in This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here with
Ladies Greetings first. And felicitations. CW here. And there's a special, extra special guest today.
Hey, my name is Tim Ahrens. I write the Dark Creatures book series. It's nice to be on the show again.
Yep, and we're happy to have you. Glad you like this material. It's been a wild ride for me, a very much a learning experience. The vast majority of what we play is fresh to me when we're playing it right here live. Where Dave's
and
been all time
And nobody's more fresh than Dale is. And nobody's more fresh than Dale is, that's for sure.
Yeah. Ask around. but Dave's had his hand in old-time radio for like a billion years or so, since we were, what, in our 20s maybe, and is well-versed on this stuff. He formats it and, themes everything up for the weekend, which we're doing hands this weekend. And today it's a CBS Radio Mystery Theater for you.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great subject, too, because I've did so many wonderful black and white movies on just severed hands as they crawl around behind people's back.
Yeah, we were talking about them yesterday. Maybe you can bring a few more to mind. The original Hands of Orlac with Conrad Veidt, the remake of Mad Love with, dare I say it incorrectly, Peter Lorre.
Correct.
And I missed one yesterday, Dave. Remember The Crawling Hand? That's a nice low budget deal there.
Yeah, I was about to say The Crawling Hand is one. There's one another one with Peter Lorre where I can't remember the name of it, but it's about a piano player who Lorre keeps his hand in a box.
I think that's Mad Love.
Is that Mad Love? I don't think so.
There's definitely a piano player in there because it's a retelling of the story of the Hands of Orlac.
Later.
Orlac being the pianist.
Later.
Yep. And in Mad Love, the pianist gets into a wreck, gets his hands all crushed and messed up.
A murderer's
going to be executed, and Peter Lorre, the doctor, who's really in love with the pianist's wife, he grafts the hands of the deceased. of the deceased criminal, and Orlac's hands become a criminal's hands.
Well, in this one, Lorre is actually the butler or somebody or a servant of some type. In this black and white one, I'm thinking of the other one is the Hammer one. It's a series of episodes in What Took Over Hammer? I can't even think of their name. Abacus. Thank you.
Yeah,
Abacus Films. And that's with. God, my brain is shutting down tonight. Sorry, guys.
That's all
Peter,
right.
Is Peter Cushing in the movie?
It wasn't Peter Cushing. It was Christopher Lee. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're thinking of the creep.
Yep.
You're thinking of the creeping flesh.
Yes.
It's not the creepy.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah. That's the really great ones out there.
Yep. And I remember the little monster's hands with the ring with the eye from... come on now, I just lost it.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens.
it's the one with the aliens and the teenagers. Invasion of the Saucer Men. Invasion of the Saucer Men.
Ah, there you go.
And the ring with the eye idea was reused in Tim Burton's adaptation of Mars Attacks.
Yeah, I really wish that Hollywood... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I really wish that Hollywood would go back to the formula that they did in the 50s and 40s, maybe even some of the 60s, and actually start writing original content, then starting to go back and try to rewrite or redo some of these older shows, which I think is some of them are untouchable. You shouldn't just be playing with them.
Yeah. there's a reason why no one's really successfully followed through, although there's been many attempts to do Creature from the Black Lagoon. He's a great example.
Yeah.
You don't want to change that creature. His image is so iconic that I think any changes would be hard for a true fan to swallow.
Did you guys ever hear the story behind the first time they showed the suit on film? Well, not on film, but to the actors in that movie? I guess they were designing it. I guess they were designing it on the hush or on the sly because they hadn't shown anybody what it looked like. And then that first scene in the black and white when he swims up from underneath towards the divers is the first time that the actors actually saw the suit. And from what I understand from you know history, so it scared the living shit out of them. I'm sorry, I shouldn't swear. Scared the living heck out of them.
Yeah. Good thing they were in a lot of water.
Yeah. They'd never seen it, and it came right up under. The actor came right up underneath of the diver did, and it scared the living heck out of him.
Yeah, Riku Browning was the played the creature the vast majority. He was the diver who played him the most frequently. Later went on to direct, and he had a lot to do with the development of underwater filming. So he had a whole lot to do with the Flipper TV show.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Good stuff.
Oh,
love the creature.
Well, I'm glad they've done remakes of Dracula because that is something that really translates well for being done as remakes. I mean,
yeah, that's a very flexible storyline. You can definitely play with that, change it around. The only thing I have a problem with lately is I think they're going, only my opinion, mind you, so I think they're going a little bit too far with the vampirism being a genetic trait or a disease or a virus. I'd rather keep the mystical end of it. But otherwise, yeah, they definitely could do a lot with that.
Absolutely. I think a villain is far more formidable when you don't fully understand it and can't fight it with science necessarily.
Yeah, that's the best part, isn't it? Where you
yeah.
try to figure out how to fight it.
Yeah.
There's an old movie out. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. I've only saw it once when I was younger, and it's called The Bone Eaters.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's a very old movie. It's really hard to find. It's about some scientists who open up an interdimensional gate, and these monsters come through that eat human bone, so they start devouring people.
Yum.
And it's
a
budget film.
Is that
go ahead.
Oh, it's a film. It's not anime, is it?
No, it is a movie. It is a movie. In color. It's in the. They made it in the 60s, probably around the same time they made Triffids, Day of the Triffids.
Okay.
But it's really hard to find now. When I was younger, even though it's a low-budget movie and stuff, as you're a kid, you know, it scared the living crud out of me. These things were running around, you know, chewing people. You wonder why I got into horror writing.
Because you're cool. Because you're cool.
Yeah.
True.
Although you might blow your cool reputation by hanging around with the likes of us. You know our
show. And in fact, the world I can give the world a big middle finger if they don't like it.
Yeah, and it's on radio, so that works.
Yeah.
The title of our radio play tonight, is very reminiscent of, like, 40s, 50s horror with the title The Hand That Refused to Die from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yep.
And we should probably...
Before we get started, I wanted to do a little scientific experiment here. In preparing for this show tonight, I read that the underside, the palm, cannot tan. The other side can, but not that. And I just want to do a little experiment here. Let me get my lighter out here. Let me see. Oh, there it is. Okay. And... Oh, they're right. It doesn't tan. Okay.
Wow.
It does burn nicely, though.
Yeah. The way you sacrifice yourself for this show, Dave, just is astounding. This guy suffers for his art.
Ah, yes, indeed.
And you guys
suffer
have to suffer along with me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Help. Help.
Let's get started with part one of our CBS Radio Mystery Theaters program. Dave, when was this one originally broadcast?
Let me see. Just before I go out and find a bucket of water, it was first broadcast, episode number 146, September 11th of 1974.
Dallas International Bank, Commerce at Field for bonus checking. Member FDIC.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome this time to a tale of the supernatural. Not frightening, not in the least horrifying, but intriguing, mystifying, strange. We all of us know that in this world there is a power greater than ourselves. Call it what you will. God, a force, the universal conscious, it exists. Some of us have experienced it, felt its touch in one way or another. But few have met with it in so unusual a way as the celebrated concert pianist Anton Walberg.
Lottie. My dear Lottie, if what you say is true.
It is, Anton. I know it is. We only think it is.
Lottie, I lost my hand. My right hand in that accident. My hand is gone. It no longer exists. And yet I am able to play.
True. Your hand no longer exists. But the spirit of your hand does. Only the body dies, Anton. The spirit never.
Our mystery drama, The Hand That Refused to Die, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Say, do you know what happens this time of year?
The swallows come back to Capistrano.
Nope.
The buzzards come back to Hinckley Ridge, Ohio?
No.
Bulldogs all over the world begin to shed?
Not even close.
Oh.
This, my friend, is the time of year when you can get a super little deal on the practical but elegant Buick Apollo. And just between you and me, it may very well be the best chance you'll ever have to buy a Buick.
I could have sworn this was Buzzard Day in Hinckley.
Hinckley.
It makes good sense to use sense in the sun. Don't overdo.
Constant overexposure to the sun could be harmful. Your American Cancer Society advises moderation or protective clothing or sunscreening lotions. Remember,
cover up or come on in.
You can paint your home in the same muted earth tone colors our colonial ancestors used to paint theirs. Hi, Frank Lieber here to tell you about True Value Hardware Store's True Test Supreme Latex House Paint. It comes in 24 Jamestown colors, like Salmon Gold, Chelsea Blue, and Samoset Gray. The colonials used dyes from roots and barks and mixed them with buttermilk, of all things, to achieve those colors. True Test Supreme Latex House Paint puts those same kind of colors into a rich, easy-to-apply latex. Latex, with the durability of a fine oil-based paint. It covers most surfaces in one coat. It resists stains, mildew, blistering, and smog. And it dries quickly, just 30 minutes. Painting tools clean up in soap and water. True Value Hardware Stores have True Test Supreme Latex House Paint in 24 Jamestown colors in white. True Test Supreme Latex House Paint. You'll find it exclusively at your nearby participating True Value Hardware Store.
Psychics tell us there is a life after death. Indeed, there are those who believe there are many lives after death, and others who hold a firm faith in reincarnation. We listen and go on about our daily lives until something happens that so affects our life, marks it, for good or ill, that we know there is unquestionably something, some invisible power, some unseen force of which we are a part. Anton Wahlberg began to realize this on the day he came home from the hospital to his luxurious penthouse apartment in New York City.
Welcome home, Anton.
Lottie, you. I thought you were in Chicago with your young prodigy.
He can get along without old Lottie Stern for a few days.
You arranged this, Alexis.
No, my darling, nothing was arranged. Lottie wanted to be here when you came home from the hospital, and here she is.
Well, arranged or not, you're more than a pleasant surprise, Lottie. You're what I need.
Ah, you depend on your old teacher too much. But I'm glad you do. It's very heartwarming for an ancient crone like me to be wanted, needed, by so handsome a man, so talented a man.
Handsome? Talented? I have only one hand now, Lottie. This left one. What good is it to be handsome? What use the talent?
Lottie, I need you, too, to cheer him up.
And of course you're depressed, Anton,
depressed?
But...
There's no word to describe my despair, Lottie. Why did this happen? Why to me? I was at the peak of my career. I was Anton Wahlberg, one of the most celebrated concert pianists in the world. I was 7 weeks ago. I no longer am. Ended everything. My career, my life, ended.
There is never an end without a beginning, Anton. The closing of one door is merely the opening of another.
And what door might be open to me without my right hand?
Only God knows. And you will, too, when you seek it. Now, speaking of which, I asked Ada to serve tea in the music room. Come, let us go and seek that.
Excellent idea, Lottie. Anton?
I'm not sure I ever want to enter my music room, my study again.
Oh, my darling.
Never mind the sympathy, Alexis. It is the worst thing in the world. Come on, into the music room. I, Lottie Stern, order you. You hear me, Anton?
Lottie, I don't think I can bear even the sight of the piano.
Anton, you must. Ah, so, your Ada has laid out a fine tea for us. Cucumber sandwiches, your favorite chocolate cake.
Who opened the keyboard?
The keyboard?
The piano keyboard. Alexis, I told you it was to be closed and never opened again.
I know you did, darling.
And you promised me. You promised.
No, I kept my promise. The keyboard was closed when I left to bring you home from the hospital. I checked it personally.
Well, perhaps Ada...
No, I gave her strict orders. She was not even to touch the piano, even to dust it. I'd do that, I said.
I cannot bear the sight of the keys. Close the keyboard. Damn it, I'll close it myself.
Dearest, are you trembling?
Now, some good strong tea will take care of that. Alexis, darling, will you pour, please?
Lottie, the day I get an ounce of sympathy from you, that will be the day.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
More of this bread, Dr. Lonsdale, some butter?
Oh, thank you, Alexis, yes.
Damn, there goes my fork.
Oh, Ada, another fork for Mr. Wahlberg, please.
With only one hand, I'll never eat again, either.
I'll have to give you some lessons in surgical techniques, Anton.
Surgical techniques?
As a surgeon, I can assure you, you'll be astounded at what can be done with one hand. I know.
If anyone does, you do, old friend. You saved my life.
No, the doctor in Blaneyville...
Butcher.
You mustn't say that, Anton. Remember, he had to remove your hand to save your life. He had no option.
What was that?
Well, it sounded like... It couldn't be. Lottie, did you hear it? There it is again. Someone is fooling around with the piano in my study. Let's see about this.
Wait, I'll go with you.
I too. Oh, no!
The piano keyboard is open again.
Again, Anton?
Yes, before I came home from the hospital this afternoon, I asked Alexis to make sure the lid of the keyboard was closed.
And it was when I left here.
But it was open when I got home. I myself closed it then, and now it's open again. Ada must be responsible for this.
It's in the kitchen, Anton.
Well, someone... And who struck that middle C twice?
It's curious.
It's beyond reason. It's incredible.
I'll close the lid.
No, leave it open. And let's rejoin Lottie in the dining room.
Lottie, we found the keyboard open again.
Who was in there, in the music room?
No one.
Someone struck middle C.
No, Madam Stern, there was no one there.
Someone was. Perhaps you could not see him or her.
You mean a spirit, a ghost?
Yes.
I'm afraid I don't believe in ghosts.
I do.
Come now, Lottie, don't tell us you've ever seen a ghost.
No, no, not seen. But I have felt them near me. To tell you the truth, Anton, they're always near me.
You mean the ghosts of those you knew in Auschwitz?
Yes.
Oh, Madame Stern,
Gordon,
you...
dear, don't be offended, but she prefers not to talk about
it. Oh, I understand. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Here, Lottie, have some more potatoes and gravy. That will solve everything.
It helps.
Oh,
it's all right. It's all right, Anton.
Please, everyone. Just that when I get to thinking that maybe it might have been saved if you, Gordon, had operated instead of that Barringer.
You smashed your car into a tree. Your right hand went through the windshield. It was so cut up, so mangled.
You could have saved it. I see it in your eyes. You could have.
Antonov, I'm not so sure.
But there is a doubt in your mind. That little doubt means I might never have lost my right hand.
Anton, darling.
Excuse me. Please.
Excuse me, I must go to him.
No, you stay here.
But I think he...
Please. My dear, you are a wonderful wife to Anton, a beautiful and capable woman. But at times like this, he needs Lottie Stern. All right. Get it out of your system. Come on, let it come, all of it.
Lottie.
I know. Who would know better? My hands, you see? You know what they did to them. The Gestapo at Auschwitz.
I know. They broke your fingers one by one.
And when they healed, broke them again.
And your career, Lottie, that was ended too.
Yes, it was. And I felt, well, there are no words. How can you describe the sudden darkness in the soul, the emptiness in the heart? The physical pain, it was bad. Each finger snapped. It was horrible. The pain, unbearable. But all this, nothing compared to what went on inside me. So, my darling Anton, I know what you are going through. I know.
Now, Lottie, what am I to do? Tell me, what am I to do?
What everyone does when all else fails.
And what is that?
Turn to God.
Lottie, I don't believe in God. Not after what happened to me.
Did you believe before?
I don't know. Never thought about it much.
Wait, let me. Hello? No, this is Madame Stern. Yes, he is. One moment. It's for you, Anton. Someone named Bill Stone.
Oh, yes. A friend of mine works for United Press. Hello, Bill. Oh, well, thanks. Oh, well, I'm going to be all right. Yes? What? Strangled?
Gordon and I thought that...
Shh. Anton's on the phone, something.
It's impossible. Well, Bill, I know you better than to think you play any kind of sick joke on me. I don't care what they say at the FBI. Somebody made a mistake. Yes. Oh, well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Anton, what is it?
That was Bill Stone. You know Bill.
Of course.
Well, he said a story's just come in over the wire from Blaineyville.
So that's where you had your accident, just outside Blaineyville.
Yes. Dr. Barringer was found dead this afternoon in his office. Strangled.
Strangled?
By one hand.
One hand? The bruises show
yes,
that
one hand strangled him to death. A right hand.
Well, this is the strangest.
It's more than strange, Alexis. It's impossible.
Why impossible, Anton?
Because, Lottie, they say it was my right hand that strangled him.
Strange. Bizarre.
words, unless, like Anton Walberg, you have experienced them. Then, strange, bizarre, macabre, change from words to something alive in your bloodstream.
Macabre.
Well, you're experiencing them now. You're imagining them. And there is nothing more alive than your imagination. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
May I help you, sir?
One hair shirt, please. One bed of nails. And that cat of nine tails for self-flagellation.
What's your rush? Why try for sainthood in 1 week?
It's not that. It's just that my old hair shirt is at the cleaners. My bed is getting dull, and my whip has been going soft on me.
You punish yourself a great deal?
I get what's coming to me.
But isn't it a bit overmuch?
Oh, I deserve more than I ever get.
One cat of nine tails coming up. And do you want a bed of nails, whip, or without the saw?
Cancel your appointments for self-punishment. Break the whip. You have no right to treat one of God's creatures, you, in that way. He forgives you. Forgive yourself. A nudge toward self-respect from the Mennonite churches.
Thank you. This is your host for Name the Bank, Bob Hartshorn. Here's tonight's first guest, Mr. Ralph Tishman. Welcome to Name the Bank, Mr. Tishman.
Thank you.
Now, if you'll just take your place inside our Name the Bank think tank, we'll get on with the show. Can you hear me all right in there, Mr. Tishman?
Yes, I hear you. It's a little warm in here, though.
Fine. Now, may I have the first clue, please? Mr. Tishman, there's a bank in Dallas that offers a multi-service checking account for only $3 a month and gives you $10,000 accidental death insurance. Can you name the bank?
Federal Reserve Bank?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Tishman, but that's not quite right. You see, this bank gives local and national discounts, reduced rates on motels and car rentals.
I know. They belong to FDIC.
That's right, Mr. Tishman, but you see, we need the names, so try again. Unlimited check writing, no minimum balance, all the checks you need.
I know it. I know it. What? Exchange Bank.
Exchange Bank. You win, Mr. Tishman. You name the bank. The Tab Pay Setter account from Exchange Bank. Harry Hines at Mockingbird. No gimmicks, just a good deal.
Hey, let me out of this tank.
Tishman. Tishman, you.
I just want to mention that whenever you're panicked about a spectral hand, mashed potatoes helps everything.
Yeah.
Always a simple solution. I usually reach for the ice cream myself.
I like them for making sculptures of Devil's Tower. That's what I like mashed potatoes for.
Well, don't forget don't forget Spielberg's contributes to mashed potatoes. What is it? Of a third kind. I always forget the name of that.
What I meant.
Yeah, Devil's Tower.
Making sculptures of Devil's Tower. That's what I was referencing.
Shows where I am tonight.
That's all right. You're with us. That's what you get. This is your punishment. Should you choose to enjoy it?
And I always found it interesting that when you're extremely frightened or upset, that a cup of tea is exactly what you need until you crack more caffeine. It just couldn't hurt you.
Yeah. Well, that's like we were talking about those high-powered caffeine coffees. They're being sold by these, like, rifle companies. Do I want a guy all jacked up running around with guns? I think not.
Well, it'd make a good horror film.
Yeah, it would, but...
Wow. Don't kid me.
Here, here's
Texas
a rifle.
Chainsaw nah. Java. Oh.
Oh, here's a rifle. You guys again. You're lots of fun.
Here's some Colombian roast dark Jamaican coffee duff. And a gun. Good time.
Yeah, forget about the movie Hatchet. We want the movie Coffee Man.
Yes. I used to love Stan the Coffee Guy from Mad TV. Remember him?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, he was great. The eyes bulged out.
Just
be careful. Be careful. You're going to give somebody an idea and they're going to make some money off of it. I mean, I can see the B movie.
They just don't make shows like that.
I'm taking notes as we speak.
Uh,
Great stuff.
It pays to take notes.
It does.
This is a pretty good story. Not anything like I thought it would be. But
I don't know. Most severed hand stuff has to do with somebody killing something. There's one called it's not called the Creeping Hand. I can't exactly remember the name of it either. But it's with Michael Caine, and he was an artist, a cartoon artist who got his hand cut off. It's the Hand. That's what it was called, the Hand. And it ran around killing people. It was actually a really good movie.
I wonder why this is. I'm stumped.
Oh.
Come on, you know I was going to pull that one out.
Well, at least we not forget the most famous hand, Thing,
from
the Addams Family.
Oh, yes. Usually the hand of Ted Cassidy. Usually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was his hand. Does anyone know who portrayed Ladyfinger?
Ooh, no.
Was that,
she didn't show up very often, did she?
Did Carolyn Jones do that?
I'm thinking she probably did. It looked like her hand.
Yeah. That's kind of why I was thinking, is that possible, maybe? I don't know. Can't ask her anymore.
No, I got a big kick out of the story about her is that I guess after the first season of The Addams Family, when they were going to shoot the second season, she came back. She'd cut all her hair off. She had a bob. They had to rush around and find a wig for her.
Oh, God.
Scared the heck out of them.
God, I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
Yep.
An actress who was on Irwin Allen's Land of the Giants?
Mm-hmm.
She did the same thing. She went out on her lunch break and changed her hair completely, which really took a hammer to continuity.
Yeah,
and I don't know how a professional actor could possibly be. I'm sorry if that person is still alive and if you happen to somehow hear this, but don't you think that was just a tad obtuse? I'm sorry, you know, but come on.
Maybe she's trying to get back at the writers or producers or something.
Yeah,
or director.
That would be kind of nice revenge, you know, if you could take the yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
Take that, Preminger!
And let's not forget the ultimate switch in television, which, of course, would be Bewitched with Darren.
Yes. Oh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Evil Darren.
And one day he was one person, the next day he was someone else, and we never even mentioned it. We just kept going.
Yeah.
They'll never notice. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
It did it worked well. It segued very well.
Oh, I always got a kick out of that moment, though.
Yeah. Oh, dear. TV of the 60s. It'll never be like that again.
Yeah, that's a shame,
Sleight of hand, changing one performer from another. Well, they did do it with Valerie Harper character in the TV series in the, what was it, the 90s? Valerie?
Yeah, it was went from Valerie's family, went from Valerie's family to the Hogans.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big surprises on TV are handled interestingly, like with Good Times, when the father died off of Good Times, they had to figure out how to make that work. That was actually really interesting the way they wrote that out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated to see that because I liked that character.
Yeah, that character was great, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, and don't forget Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah.
Another sleight of hand.
You guys heard that I guess they're still attempting to remake The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah. I forget what
space. Well, they Will Smith did it as a drama for Hulu or something.
Oh, you do know about it then? Okay, good. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, really? I saw one episode of it and I turned it off.
It was already in production. I think it was already in production when the slap happened. So it probably got finished, but it never got renewed.
Yeah, because I only saw one episode and I turned it off. it just didn't mirror the original, and the original was a lot funnier.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
I was going to say they should have stick with comedy.
I agree. I don't see why people don't do that more often. It's just to take the Mel Brooks approach and try to make something fun, but teach somebody something at the same time instead of being so serious and ramming it down people's throats and stuff. That's just my opinion. But
yeah.
Mel Brooks has the perfect formula. High anxiety, young Frankenstein.
During high anxiety, he actually, when he was showing it, that scene with the Psycho replay. I guess Alfred Hitchcock sitting right beside him when he was viewing that particular scene in the theater at one point, and he was so scared that Hitchcock was going to hate it. I guess Hitchcock loved it, but
that's good. Hitchcock did have a sense of humor, though. You could tell that with his work.
Yes,
I guess he sent Brooks a basket of cheese and some wine.
Nice.
I like Mel Brooks. He has a good sense of humor.
That he does.
Yeah, Brooks,
and We should probably get back to part two of The Hand That Refused to Die, part two of three parts, and we'll be back after this segment.
Certainly no greater tragedy could happen to a concert pianist than the loss of his right hand. And that is what happened to Anton Walberg 7 weeks ago. Now, in the music room of his expensive penthouse apartment in New York, Anton Walberg has received news that shocks him and his guests.
They've made a mistake at the FBI, that's all.
Darling, where did the FBI come into this?
The hand that strangled Barringer touched things in his office. Left prints. The Blaineyville police wired them to the FBI, and my prints are on file. They are? Some years ago, Gordon, I took out a $2.5 million insurance policy on my hands. Thank God I did. And the insurance company naturally wanted my fingerprints for identification. Oh, I see. And the prints on file at the FBI... match the prints found in Barringer's office.
It's a mistake.
I doubt if the FBI makes mistakes with fingerprints.
Lottie, what else could it be? Lottie, will you stop looking so mysterious? You see, no hand, Lottie. It was cut off here. It's dead.
Is it?
Oh, that's a curious thing to say, Madam Stern.
Dr. Lonsdale, what would they have done with Anton's severed hand?
Well, it would have gone to the nearest mortuary. Very likely the coroner or medical examiner would examine it. Then it would have been destroyed.
The hand. But not the spirit of the hand.
Oh, good Lord. We're back in the psychic world now.
I believe... You don't. You will.
I very much doubt that, Lottie. What I do believe is that my hand did not, could not have strangled Dr. Barringer. If it were possible, which it isn't, why? Why would my hand strangle Barringer?
You know the answer, Anton.
The hand could have been saved. Because it wasn't. Revenge?
What else?
Oh, nonsense. That's what else?
Alexis,
please. I asked you and Gordon to dinner tonight to help cheer Anton up. It's turning out to be the most depressing evening one can imagine. Now, if you don't mind, from here on in, we're going to talk about cheerful things.
Come in.
Alexis said you were in the music room. You didn't want to be disturbed.
Well, naturally, you disturbed me.
I must talk to you. And you have shut yourself away for nearly a week now.
Lottie, I don't want to see anyone, including you.
Now, Anton, as your
coach of what? A one-handed concert pianist?
All right, as your business manager.
You should reduce your fee by half. I'm only half a man, less.
All right, as your friend.
Yes, Lottie. Yes, you are that.
and the best anyone ever had.
So then you listen to me. You cannot go on burying yourself in this room.
Why not? I am dead.
You are anything but dead. All right, so you have one hand. There is much you can do with one hand. You can teach.
I would loathe it.
I did too, at first. Almost, I couldn't bring myself to it. Today, I am glad I did. It has been an experience as rewarding, well, almost as rewarding as playing.
I find that hard to believe, Lottie.
You are going to stop brooding. You are going to come back into the world, Anton. You are going to become active again and take an interest in life starting tonight.
Tonight?
My new prodigy, Rafe Klein, the one I left in Chicago to come to you, he is performing tonight at Carnegie. Now, I want you to hear Rafe. You must hear him, because you are going to be his teacher, his coach.
You're his teacher, his coach.
And I am old. I am too old to handle the younger generation. Rafe needs many things you can give him. Your fingering. Yes, Anton, I said your fingering. You can demonstrate that with one hand. Your interpretation, especially of Beethoven, and above all, your dedication. The need to practice. Which reminds me, have you?
Have I what?
Practiced.
You know, I think you're going mad, Lottie. Practice with just my left hand?
Well, keep the piano in tune, at least.
The hell with the piano!
Did you hear that?
Piano string losing tension. It happens to a piano and isn't played.
So do me and the piano a favor. Play it.
Do me a favor and get lost.
All right. But you'll come tonight.
Oh, have I any choice?
No.
All right, I'll come.
Ah, one thing more. I have, not good news.
Is there any other kind?
No, be serious, Anton. This, has to do with money.
Oh?
About the insurance on your hand.
Yes.
The $2.5 million. It may be the company isn't going to pay it.
What?
Oh, no. Come on, calm yourself. There's nothing definite about this yet. But I talked this morning with the senior vice president. He asked me to come and see him. I went. He said that according to the Blaineyville police report, the accident, well, you were at fault.
Me? At fault?
Anton, did you fall asleep at the wheel? You wouldn't lie to Lottie now, would you? Did you?
Yes. Damn it, I was tired, Lottie, exhausted. The schedule you set up for me, a night in Atlanta, a night in Aiken, a night in Baton Rouge, a night here, a night there, traveling every day, what would you expect?
You could have told me that you are getting older. All right now, tonight, my place for dinner, and then we go on to Carnegie.
But what about the $2.5 million, my insurance?
We'll see. We may have to sue.
Lottie, we will have to sue. I'm nearly broke, Lottie. Without that money, I might as well be dead. I will be. I'll see to that.
What do you mean?
I mean, I can't take anymore, Lottie. I can't suffer anymore. I'll kill myself. What was that?
Need you ask?
What's an unseen hand? An invisible hand?
Your hand, Anton.
Oh, no.
What else?
But it's impossible. And if it were possible, why?
Because you said you would kill yourself. And your hand, the spirit of your hand, protested.
But it is dead.
Here we are. D-101 through 104. After you, Alexis. Thank you, Lottie. Now you, Anton. Here, you sit between us.
What a pity that Gordon couldn't make it at the last minute.
Well, emergency operations, too bad. Well, he will hear my Raphael another time, or he will someday be famous. You are silent, Anton. You say nothing.
What's to say?
Oh, you don't always have to say something. You could be just pleasant.
I will be, if I can think of anything to be pleasant about.
Raphael Klein will change your mood. He will play first Chopin Fantasy Impromptu. It is one of your favorites.
A favorite I shall never be able to play again. Ow.
What is it, Anton?
Now, look, Lottie, enough is enough.
What are you talking about?
You slapped my face.
I didn't touch you.
Yes, you did.
And Tommy didn't.
Lottie, look at his cheek.
Yes. It's red, as if someone did slap him.
You?
I assure you.
Later.
Oh, look, Alexis, is he not young and handsome?
Oh, yes. Oh,
that, too, is good for the box office. The women will go mad over him.
Dressing room, come.
Oh, Raphael.
Oh.
Why did you leave the stage after the Chopin?
I can't go on, Lottie.
After performing a miracle, you can't go on. The entire audience is on its feet calling for you, and you can't go on.
After what just happened?
What did happen out there, Mr. Klein?
It was as if... Oh, you're Anton Vollberg.
Yes. Well, go on, tell me, what happened to you?
Well, something, some force suddenly gripped my right arm, began to pull my hand, my right hand, off the keyboard. I didn't know what was happening to me. I thought I was having some sort of seizure, or I was going mad, or I don't know what.
And then?
My left hand kept playing.
You mean you kept playing with your left hand?
No, Lottie, no. My right arm, it was forced down to my side, and I was scared. I was so scared I couldn't have gone on playing with my left, and I didn't. It did.
Your left hand went on playing by itself?
I certainly didn't go on playing. My left hand didn't even feel to be a part of me. I couldn't have done what my hand did, play for both the right and the left.
But we saw. You must have practiced.
Lottie, how can you practice the impossible? The fantasy cannot be played with one hand.
But you did it.
No, not me. I don't know what, but... Not me. There's no understanding this. No understanding it at all.
We will talk of this later after the concert.
Lottie, I told you, I can't go on. I'm shaken up. I have a bunch of nerves.
Better you control your nerves and we return their money. Now pull yourself together, Raphael, and go out there.
Lottie,
go!
Do as Lottie says, Mr. Klein. There's greatness in you, but you'll never reach it if you let nerves take the upper hand.
All right. I'll go back on then.
Lottie. Anton, should you have sent him back on stage? He's terribly shaken.
He must learn control. He must learn discipline. Discipline is everything.
Even to performing miracles?
What do you mean, dear?
No, even the thought is foolish.
What thought?
Klein, he's young, inexperienced. I'm a veteran of the concert stage, skilled, practiced, experienced.
So?
Well, if his left hand could perform like that, why not mine?
Oh, my dear.
He did it. His hand, yes, it seemed like a miracle, but was it? It moved up and down that keyboard so fast it appeared to be in two places at once.
True, that's very true.
You know what I think?
What, dear?
Another foolish thought, perhaps, but I think it was my hand that gripped his arm out there tonight.
Now, God.
I know it's crazy, but could it be that the hand, my hand... Lottie, the spirit of my hand was trying to show me what can be done with one hand?
Can Anton Vollberg possibly find enough faith in himself to, well, perform virtual miracles at the piano? Surely this seems to be what the spirit of his hand is trying to tell him, that he can. And yet, really now... Is not the impossible impossible? We shall see when I return shortly with Act 3.
Some research experts say you can't taste the difference between beers. Well, if they're right, then Anheuser-Busch wastes a barrel of time Beechwood aging Budweiser. Only they don't think so. Brewing beer right does make a difference. And they're betting a bundle that you can taste the difference in Bud. When it comes to brewing Budweiser, the Anheuser-Busch choice is to go all the way because they still care about quality. Look at it this way. If the Bud people have a choice between what some experts say and what beer drinkers say, well, you'd better believe they'll go with you beer drinkers every time. When you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
You're doing more. We're doing more. The Dallas Times Herald.
We're going to make September 22nd the biggest Sunday in 1974 with Texas 75, a special Times Herald report on the state of our state. For months, our reporters have been busy collecting facts, and what they've come up with is an encyclopedia of information for busy people of all ages and interests. Did you know the Sails and Ship Club of Dallas sponsored the first PGA Tour here? That Texas leads the nation in number of rodeo performances each year? Everything you ever wanted to know about Texas in one quick reference source. Texas 75 gives you what you'd have to pay for in an almanac. And it's free in the September 22nd Dallas Times Herald. Subscribe now. Call 744-6101. Texas 75. It's another reason why the hare finally beat the tortoise.
Okay. Yeah, Texas, number one in chainsaw massacres.
Yes, more dark creatures are slithering out to the piano tonight.
That's right. So this this is an interesting
wow.
Wrinkle. His hand is playing and it ain't there.
Yeah,
just like my brain in my mouth sometimes. Yeah,
it's physically impossible for a hand to play two-handed roles by itself. You would think it's rather interesting that they're trying to pull that off, though.
Yep, you can pull off anything on radio.
Well, that's true.
That's true. But remember, if for anyone who is a MASH aficionado, there was an episode of MASH where they did have a soldier who did lose use of one of his hands, and he was a concert pianist. And Major Charles Emerson Winchester III was able to obtain some music to show him that he still had a lot to offer. There are pieces that are composed for just one hand.
That's true. I have heard that.
Yeah, and the only thing that he couldn't help was that piano they had there that night. Ooh, man, that was out of tune.
That's the thing you really want to listen. Well, we want to acknowledge in an episode like that was the piano was out of tune.
Yeah. Of all people to be helpful on MASH, Winchester.
Oh, yeah. The actor who played him did a great job, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah.
When you make someone that unlikable, that's doing a good job.
Who did Winchester replace? I can't remember the actor's name or the part.
Frank Burns.
Thank you.
Major Burns.
Yeah, there was a whiny guy.
Yeah.
What
they call him, rat face or something?
A ferret face.
Ferret face.
Yeah. And the big thing about that is the reason I liked Charles better was because he could fight back where Frank Burns couldn't fight back. He'd just say, "Oh, you guys," you know.
I think they were trying to follow the characterization from the original movie, though, so that's probably why they designed him that way. But
Could be.
Yeah, Winchester was definitely fun because he could. He did have the verbal skills to box with those guys.
Yeah, especially those guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He also had the surgical skills because Frank was always being told he was not that great of a surgeon. But Winchester, he was an excellent surgeon. He did not want to be there, but he was an excellent surgeon.
Yep.
I'm sure there were a lot of people in the mass units who didn't want to be there but were excellent surgeons.
Yeah. Yeah, that little draft thing they used to have.
Yeah, that had to be a very unpleasant situation. It would definitely turn me into alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm way too old for them to want me now.
Yeah, fortunately for me, too. Who knows, we might be off to South Korea or something soon.
Oh, be lucky you're not South Korean. All able-bodied males between the age of 18 to 34 are compulsory 24 months of their life have to serve in the military.
It's the same thing with, what was it?
Wasn't Switzerland like that?
I'm trying to think of the name of the darn country. I got to watch my language. I'm sorry.
Israel, you have to spend
Israel. There we go. Yeah,
there.
It's the same as Israel.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think they take, and they take the women as well as the men.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Much of the chagrin of quite a few people from Israel who don't want to be in the military. But this is a very interesting development for the show so far. Now we have a ghostful hand showing someone else how to play one hand.
Yep.
Whoa! Plus, we had something, even another horror story. I mean, you have to fight an insurance company.
Ooh, yeah.
The horrors. Yeah.
And here I was going to ask the question, why is he so depressed when he gets $2.5 million after he loses his hand? And now I understand why.
Yeah. Now you not only not have a hand, we found a loophole to not pay you.
Yeah, so now you don't even have a livelihood.
Ha ha. Sorry about your luck.
Hard for him to get a grip on the situation. Yeah.
Oh, my. That was very, very disarming, Dave. Very disarming. I wish you hadn't gone in that direction there. God help us. Oh, Gar, come back. Come back.
Where are you, Gar? Come back,
help
Gar.
Us.
Help.
All right, let's anybody wrap up, else? Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, real quick, while we're still on break here, in the break room, let our listeners know a little bit more about what you do, Tim.
Oh, well, I write a series of books called Dark Creatures. I've got two out right now, and I'm working on the third. I wanted to get it out this year, but it's going to have to be pushed off till next year because of reasons. It's a dark fantasy setup, so it's a horror novel and a fantasy novel kind of wrapped together in a really warped and extremely scary way, I guess you could call it that. I mean, most people think that it's frightening, so I take their word for it.
Good.
And I have a book out called The Salvation of Tang Legal, which is a series of short stories I wrote quite a while ago that's out too. So I'm an author. I enjoy writing. I'm not Stephen King fame yet, but I'm hoping one day, maybe.
Yep. And you can find him on Facebook. That's Tim Ahrens, A-H-R-E-N-S. You'll find links there to his works. And do you have your own website or anything else you want to direct people to be familiar with your work?
Yeah, you can find me on Amazon under my name and Dark Creatures, A Simple Game, or Dark Creatures, The Grand Game. Or you can find me at my own website, which is www.thedarkcreatures.com.
There you go.
Fantastic. So definitely the next R.L. Stein or perhaps
God,
the next George R.R. Martin.
I think I'm going to be the next H.P. Lovecraft. I'll wait until I pass away and then discover me.
No. Let's not wait that long.
Well, with all due respect to Cthulhu, you do not want to be like Lovecraft with the exception. No.
Yeah, there's a number of reasons you don't want to be like him.
I know. I've read a biography on Lovecraft, so I can sympathize. I won't go any further, but I can sympathize.
Wow.
He did have a twisted imagination, though, so I'll give him a heck of a lot of credit for that. So.
He had a lot of things twisted, but I digress.
That's true.
And was it you, CW, that reminded us that H.P. Lovecraft, wasn't he at least a pen pal, so to speak, with Robert E. Howard? Is that right?
He was. Conan the Barbarian's father. They were pen pals for quite a while. They had a large retinue of letters going back and forth. So they were very much aware of each other. Howard was quite enamored with the works of Lovecraft, and that's pretty much how it started. It was cheaper than trying to call, a long-distance operator. Who knows how much that cost back then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another point I'd make real quick, if you don't mind, is that I really am sad to see that a lot of those old magazines and stuff that used to promote some of these short stories and some of these newer writers out to the public are no longer in publication. No one publishes them anymore. That was a great revenue for people who were just trying to get into the writing business and didn't want to write a book or anything. They wanted to get noticed as some of those publications.
Well, great exposure as well, getting published. I know that one of my short stories we tried to get published in just here locally in the Beacon, and we didn't get published, which wasn't so bad. Except the stories I didn't feel were better than what we did, and the one thing that they had in common that every person that got published is that they had been published before.
Yeah, you see, that's the problem with the big five. In a lot of cases, too, instead of unlike self-publishing, is that in a lot of cases you have to know someone in the business in order to get a publishing contract with a lot of those guys. That's why a lot of people are going to self-publishing, including myself these days, is because at least, you get your stuff published without having to worry about someone critiquing it to the way they want to read it.
Yeah, I've
yep.
done
That's
that with
true.
Three books
and,
that I've done myself. Yeah.
And also, if you put yourself out there, which is what you're doing, you can get other people who have perhaps on TikTok or YouTube or what have you, to critique your book, and their followers will get curious and purchase the book, be it the e-book, the physical book, or audiobook, what have you. So I think, in a way, it's sad that you don't have, those astounding stories and whatnot, the pulps anymore. But at the same time, I think you have also more of an opportunity as a writer to get read.
Well, that's true, especially with Amazon and stuff and the way they publish you. But I still say that, there is a market out there for...
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Do some of that.
We winked out for a moment.
Are you still...
Everybody's
still
here, right?
Okay, yep, I'm still here.
Good work, Blog Talk. Good work, Blog Talk.
Thanks, Blog Talk.
Thank you. I still wish people would invest in that type of stuff more. I mean, it's just a good another avenue, and people don't think there's money out there for that, but I think that there is if you look for it.
Yep. There's definitely an audience. There's definitely a need.
And otherwise, I'm just working on my next short story, too, while I'm working on the book. It's called Welcome to Babylon.
All right.
It's about
we have better wrap
people.
Up. A hand that refused to die. This is a lengthy segment. We will be back after the conclusion from CBS Radio. Have a go.
What is spirit? What is it that lives in you and in me that impels us to make supreme efforts now and then? And nags us when we fail. And yes, leaves us in peace when we succeed. All religions teach that it is a spark of God that burns deep in our souls. And we are put here on this earth to learn how to fan that spark into flames. Anton Walberg has touched that tiny spark, but wonders now if he can fan it into flame.
I can't do it. I can't. It's impossible. I was a fool to think it could be anything else.
You have been trying for less than a week.
I shouldn't have tried at all. What Raphael Klein did that night, it was something supernatural. It had to be. But this piano isn't supernatural, and neither am I.
All right, Anton. You have practiced enough. Now,
Anton, I must speak to you. I spent several hours at the insurance company today.
Several hours?
Yes, they had much to tell me, much to show me. There is more than enough evidence to prove negligence on your part, Anton. Evidence that proves you were driving at approximately 75 miles an hour at a time when you were in an exhausted state and you must have fallen asleep at the wheel.
They deny the claim.
Well, they offer a compromise, a settlement.
I will not...
Now, you will wait a minute. Always you will not this and you will that. Now, please, listen. And then, if you want, you throw a tantrum.
I'm listening.
All right. The terms of the policy are clear. They're all too clear. They are well within their right, the company, not to honor the claim. Still, you have paid the premium for many years, and they wish to be fair with you.
Mm.
So they offer you the compromise. They settle for $100,000.
Fair? They settle $2.5 million for $100,000? How long can I live on that? That's peanuts.
So you will live on peanuts until you discipline your left hand to perform for the right one as well. Now, don't look at me as if I'm crazy. It can be done. You saw it done. You saw the spirit of your hand pointing the way, showing you.
You are not only old and fat, you are mad. Absolutely mad.
Okay to come in. Ada said we'd find you in the music room.
Come in, Gordon. Come in.
Madam Stern?
Oh, Dr. Lonsdale, it's good to see you.
I apologize again for missing your dinner, the Klein concert the other night, but couldn't be helped.
You are forgiven.
Hmm. Well, Anton, you wanted to see me?
Yes. Yes, I'd like your opinion, Gordon. The opinion of a professional man, a man who knows what he's talking about when it comes to the human body and what it's capable of.
Yes?
Gordon, Raphael Klein did a remarkable thing the other night.
Oh, I know. I read the critics the next day. He did the impossible, I understand.
But he did it.
Lottie, please. Gordon, what I want to know, what I want you to tell me, can I duplicate what Klein did?
Play a piano concerto that requires two hands with only one?
Yes. Lottie says I can. I say I can't. I've tried for nearly a week now, and I find it impossible. In your opinion, if I were to go on trying, could I do it?
Well, I've been thinking about what Klein did and puzzling over it, and frankly, I can't explain it. I understand his right arm suddenly became paralyzed. Is that so, Madam Stern?
You might put it that way.
Well, what other way would there be?
Well, that night, in the excitement of what happened, I'm afraid we all acted a bit stupidly, Gordon. I'm ashamed to say that even I believed that my right hand, the spirit of my hand, had taken hold of Klein's right arm and forced it down to his side. You may well look at me as if I were out of my mind, Gordon, but I did think that at the time.
I can see you've changed your mind. And you, Alexis?
Well, I...
Madam Stern?
No, I have not.
But my dear Madam Stern,
you do
not
understand, Dr. Lonsdale. Some curious things have happened, things which cannot be explained in the normal way. The fingerprints that prove Anton's hand strangled Dr. Bellinger.
Well, a mistake in the fingerprints.
You know that's not probable.
It's possible.
That piano there, it has played with no one near it. Played by an unseen hand. How do you explain that?
That's a tough one, huh?
Gordon, I apologize. I didn't ask you to come here to put you through an inquisition. All I want to know is, do you think I can do what Klein did that night? I don't mean perform miracles. I mean with practiced discipline, could I train my left hand to move quickly enough, skillfully enough to do the work of both?
No. No, of course not. You did...
Gordon! Gordon!
My throat. It's choking. Stop.
It's the hand. It is the hand.
Oh, I command you, stop. You hear? Stop.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, are you all right?
I hope so. Whatever gripped my throat, the power, the strength,
it was the hand. Now I know.
Oh, Anton.
No, Alexis. Now I believe. The other night, you remember, Lottie, when I said I'd kill myself if the insurance company denied my claim? The hand banged angrily on the piano. It was telling me I was wrong to think such things. In Carnegie Hall, just before Klein came on stage, I said I'd never be able to play again, and the hand slapped my face. And then the hand, the spirit, demonstrated through Raphael Klein what the human body can accomplish. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to do it, and if it's humanly possible, I will. With God's help, I will. I can't, Lottie, I can't, I can't. Look at my hand. It's swollen with practice, numb with the effort of trying and failing. I said I would do the impossible with God's help, but even God has given up.
Yes. He gets tired, too, sometimes.
Nowhere near as tired as I am.
Maybe you are trying too hard.
Can you try too hard?
I think maybe, perhaps. Sometimes. I learned this in Auschwitz. It is better to stop trying and ask God to help you make the effort. After all, he has to make the effort, too.
And what do you do instead?
You lean on him instead.
Oh, come, Lottie.
No, I mean it. We are controlled by the spirit within us. It was only when I stopped thinking and so stopped trying, leaned on God, and it's a silly thought, could be he leaned on me too. So much easier for both to lean instead of making an effort. Temporarily, you know, to give a little rest. Well, things worked out. When I stopped pushing, life stopped pushing back. And maybe, who knows, maybe we didn't understand the hand.
Not understand it?
I don't know. Well, anyhow, I have come to ask you a favor, Anton, a big favor.
Of course, Lottie, anything.
I cannot coach Raphael any longer. I am too old, and he is beyond me now. But not beyond you, not yet even approaching your skill. Now, I know that you don't want to teach. All right. I don't ask you to take him on permanently, but would you... He wants it. I want it. Would you... coach him now and then?
No, Lottie, I couldn't.
But why not? A half hour here, a half hour there, when it's convenient.
Shall I tell you the truth? I couldn't bear it.
Why not?
Because he is young, and I am not. He is on the way up, and I am finished. He has two hands.
Yes. Well, I'll tell him. He will be disappointed.
I'm sorry, love.
It's all right. Oh, before I go, I almost forgot. Here's the check for $90,000, the insurance.
$90,000? What happened to the other 10?
My 10%. I have to live, too.
No, Alexis, no.
She's here,
I
darling.
Don't care.
Listen, you don't care, so who cares you don't care? Come in, Rafe, come in.
Lottie, I am telling you...
Enough! Alexis, dear, please, some coffee.
Yes, of course, Lottie.
Now, Anton, you don't have to coach him, you don't have to teach him, but you can show him. And that is what you are going to do, because I, Lottie Stern, say that is what you are going to do.
All right, Lottie, what is it?
He is having trouble with the impromptu, and he has a concert in St. Louis in 10 days. You can show him in an hour.
All right. All right. Go help Alexis make the coffee. All right, Klein. Sit down. Play. Yourself a concert pianist? Play like that? You've had a few concerts, have you? So what? Big deal. Carnegie Hall? Big deal. You want to know something? You stink.
The way you're playing that passage, I can smell it.
I'm sorry, maestro.
You're sorry? And stop calling me maestro. I told you that. Now try it again. With less odor.
Yes.
Stop talking, damn it, and play. Listen to me. Will you listen?
Yes, Anton.
But you don't listen. If you listened, you'd hear. And if you heard, you would do. A lot better than you've been doing for the last 5 hours. You tired?
Dead tired.
Have some more coffee.
It's cold.
We'll get used to it. Hot coffee backstage is always cold. How are your hands?
Okay.
You want a hot towel for them?
No, I'm all right.
And begin again. From the top.
No, stop it! You are terrible! There is no other word for the way you play. Terrible! I give you up!
No, I give you up!
You give me up!
You keep talking! Do it this way, do it that way! What do you think I'm made of? What the hell do you think I'm made of? If you know so damn well how it ought to be done, you do it!
I've only got one hand!
Then use it! Show me with your left hand. If you think you're such a hotshot pianist, show me! Don't tell me, show me!
My God, I will. Get off that bench. Get off of it! Let Anton Wahlberg show you.
I'm playing. For both hands. My left hand playing for both, but it's impossible.
Play.
Trick, Lottie. All a trick.
What, Ed?
He deliberately played badly.
He could play that passage better than you ever could, and does. He was a smash in St. Louis.
He'll be a smash in the world. He'll surpass me.
That is so difficult.
It makes you feel better to insult me.
Anton, we have been through so much together, so much. And now, a new life begins for you. You will be Rafe Klein's Madame Stern, his coach, his manager.
No, Lottie, I will be his Anton Wahlberg. There is only one Madame Lottie Stern.
True. So I'll coach you how to coach.
Yes, Alexis.
Oh, I'm sorry to disturb you two, but more tea?
Yes, darling. Thank you.
You wouldn't maybe have some schnapps, just a little at a touch. I am getting old. It's a chill in my veins.
Good excuse as any. Lottie?
Hmm?
The piano there. Not a sound out of it since I agreed to coach Rafe.
Not a sound.
We were wrong. The hand. It was pointing the way to a new career.
No. Not the hand.
Not the hand?
God.
God works in mysterious ways, his miracles to perform. Says so in the Bible. Must be so. But how often in your life, how often in mine, have we moved toward one goal only to end up at another? And then, who's to say which was the right goal? I think God. What do you think?
I'll be back shortly.
Excuse me, sir, but do you know what happens this time of year?
Right on, pal. I happen to know that right about now, a freak blizzard falls on Dumont, New Jersey, and they're snowed in for the rest of the summer. Happens every year.
No, nope. You see, what happens this time of year is that you can get a particularly good deal on what is perhaps the most luxurious midsize car on the market, the midsize Buick Century Regal.
Well, what good's a car when you're hopelessly snowed in?
Well, that's a point.
Sure, I've heard that phrase, give to the college of your choice. Good idea. And I know all colleges need more money, what with inflation and all. It's just that since I graduated, I've been so busy, not just with my career, but with the community affairs, too, I haven't found the time to reevaluate.
Take the time, now, and give more to the college of your choice, now.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council. I'm asked, these stories you tell us, are they true? I can only answer, what do we mean by true? Some actually happened in real life, as we say. Others, let me confess, are products of my imagination. And most important, yours. But how real is real life? And how real is imagination? Yours and mine. Difficult question. I try to answer it sometimes. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Marion Seldes, Carol Tytel, and Russell Horton. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
What do you have in the pet carrier box?
I hate to tell you, but...
Oh, dear, not again.
I'm afraid so. Oh.
You are so careless with pets, Hugo. That's four cats dead already this year. Oh, you'll want to bury this one out by the roses, too.
If I may.
Well, it's getting a wee bit crowded, but I'm sure you'll find a nice little spot. What happened to that pussycat of yours, Hugo?
She had an accident.
Oh, what sort of accident?
To tell you the truth, she sort of lost her head.
Oh, you leave your door open and your poor little cat rushes out into traffic, particularly on that busy street you live on. What do you expect? Well, dear, you'd better hurry. It's getting dark.
Yes, that's what I was waiting for.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre.
Macabre.
Until next time, pleasant dreams.
That's what I want it to be.
That was a great tease.
Yes, it was.
With a cat. That was a very great tease.
Yeah, that sounds like a disturbed Jeffrey Dahmer type.
Yeah.
We'll have to play that one. We'll have to play that one.
Wow.
Hey, if we live long enough, we got a ton of radio we haven't played yet. And we've been at this 7 years and God knows how long. I don't know.
You guys do a great, fantastic job.
It's fun.
It is fun.
We have a lot of fun and hopefully entertain and inform and have a lot of fun all at the same time.
Yep.
I think your program's great. I advertise it whenever I can.
If we can't inform, we'll confuse.
Or scare.
Or scare.
Or perhaps terrify.
Hey, Dale, I think we have time for one quick tune here before we sign off.
Yeah, that's I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to find where you put it.
mine is in the bottom.
I got it.
Okay.
All right, let me stick a nickel in the jukebox here. Maybe we might, who knows, we might get a twin spin. There's a little bit of time left. depends how fast I can scrawl.
Reminiscent of warm bodies.
Yes. Yep, next weekend we got a split. It's not all one theme. So first thing we got is Bob Crane's birthday. Yeah, that's right. Hogan, Bob Crane's birthday was July 13th, so on the 14th, that's Friday, we've got a Zero Hour with Rod Serling. Also, a Bob Crane show with Rod Serling as his guest from back in December of 61, plus a crisis, a story called The Flaw, in which Bob Crane plays drums for something special. Should we tell him, Dave?
Should we tell him what?
What he's playing drums for,
he plays?
Song. Yeah.
Two songs. We got two songs of him playing drums.
Yeah. So that'll be Bob
we
Crane
should make
Friday.
Them Yep.
Yeah, and then Saturday next weekend, it's anything for a buck on Saturday. That's right, those pay-for-hire guys, Rocky Fortune and Pat Novak. That'll be Saturday.
Yep.
So some good detectiving after we pay tribute to Bob Crane. Maybe we'll discuss the mysterious circumstances of his passing.
Demise.
Have never been solved.
That's what happens when you walk on the dark side for too long.
That's right. That's what he gets for hanging around Disney and those seedy characters.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Oh, wait.
Who knows what him and Bob Iger got up to?
Yeah, you know?
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're having more fun than humans should be allowed.
This is true.
Well, thank you guys for letting me participate. It's fun. I enjoy it. Well,
thanks for calling in, Tim. This is great to have you back.
Yes. We
Absolutely.
Missed you, and always appreciative of the kind comments and remarks up on the Facebooks there. We just love doing this. We get to jump around with sci-fi, horror, fantasy, some good murder mysteries. And
the comedy down then, yeah.
Oh, yeah, got to have some comedy.
Ah, yes, a bit of jocularity.
Well, you guys do a great job. I enjoy listening to you as much as I enjoy calling in, so.
Very good. Well, thanks to our listeners, too, who are live in the chat, Fogsbane and good old Bob, plus we know a bunch of folks in Sweden are listening, the UK. Thank you. I was checking out the demographics, and I'm surprised and pleased that we're being heard across the pond. All right, back next week, Friday at 6:30 Eastern. I think good old Vinny is going to take us out once again, as he always does at this time.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him.
Next
and him.
We meet in Frankenstone.
Yeah.
Don't come alone.
We came in a group.
Can you dig it?
Don't forget to close the door. Thank you. The air conditioner's on.
Arrivederci. Hasta la vista. Adios.
Adios, muchachos. Caballeros de la
Union. You get out of here.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I triggered the gun a little early on Vince there, so I had to have a little stinger. A pre-standing stinger there.
Good old, that was Stan Freberg from the United States of America, Volume 1.
Yeah, they so got a lot of their material from Big Chuck from there, from Hudson and Landry, from a lot of these old comedy albums.
Yeah.
So if you and Dave are ever interested in doing something along with your radio stuff, I'm always interested in trying to get an audiobook done, but I can never seem to find anyone who knows anything about doing it. So if you guys find yourself with some extra time or something and want to do something like that, let me know.
I can read. No, I mean, I think I read and articulate fairly well. I don't know the business aspect of it.
Yeah, I just need someone with the equipment in order to do the copy. I mean, there's a place called ACX that'll do all that for you as far as business and stuff goes. But otherwise, if you guys are interested, just let me know sometime whenever anyone actually has some time and any interest in doing anything.
That would be
fun. I just
want
to lay that out there.
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Thank you.
No,
thanks again for having me on the show, though, guys. It was a blast.
It was a blast having you, as always, and our co-host, CW. Thank you for joining us. Guy the Gold, we're hoping you get well soon.
Oh, God, he's sick. I'm sorry.
Are there any encore performances on Twitch?
Yes,
I believe there is.
He started just about a minute ago on the Twitches. Gar the Ghoul, one of his vault
episodes. A brand new rerun. Yes, a brand new rerun.
Yes, yeah. Never before seen. The second time.
Well, but to be honest, they do. Chicken Salad Productions does go in and clean it up and add some echo to his voice when he's just in the chamber and. It is a little different than the way it was first presented, and a little tighter, and so it is interesting to go see them.
Yep. Yeah, that's the beauty of doing the kind of shows the way it's so difficult what Gar does to do it live like that. And,
absolutely.
Dave and I have the luxury of editing afterwards to get rid of small flaws or enhance a scene or a sound effect or something. There's just so much control you have in the editing room.
Right, exactly.
Well, cool, Jim, and I got to be on my way to eat dinner, but it was great talking with you guys and enjoying the show, and I'll look forward to more.
Hey, hang on, CW gets to close off the show for us.
Oh, yes. Once again, thank you, Tim Aaron, for joining us, and Mr. Schnozola himself, Jimmy Durante, will take it away tonight.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
What more is this say but good night?
Good day.
We've had a few laughs, and it's
the only tickle.
Everyone together. And instant people can
God do.
Horrified.
Night.
I'm inebriated.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs.
Good
Calabash.
Night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever you are.
He's over here. Right there. Oh, wait, that's on me. This is a
telecrash.
I'm sorry.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.